الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، verily the bounties of Allah upon His slaves are abundant and His favors are great. We see them, we witness them in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Rather, we even experience these blessings in our own bodies. This is the hearing, and this is the seeing, the hearing and the sight, and the ability to speak, and the senses, and the understanding and the intellect, the ability to walk, the ability to grab, the ability to let go, and the bounty of security, safety, having a peace of mind in one's land. How many people have lost that? How many people do not know what the morning will be like or what the evening will be like? They've been threatened to be robbed or to be killed or to be executed or to be destroyed. The bounty of being secure and safe from earthquakes, from floods and tribulations, which departs the people from their usual normal life, and it destroys their properties and their wealth. The bounty of sustenance and wealth and health, and others of Allah's bounties upon the slaves and the lands. And as Allah said in the Quran, and if you try to enumerate Allah's favors, you will not be able to do so. If you try to count Allah's favors, you will not be able to enumerate them. So we praise Allah Azza wa Jal for the great bounties, and we thank Him for the abundant blessings. However, the greatest of these bounties is the bounty of Islam and Iman and guidance and Quran. Allah says, this day I have perfected your religion for you, and وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. Here's the key word. And I have completed my favors upon you. So he called the idea of Islam being perfected and the ability to have a religion to follow is one of the ni'am of Allah, one of the bounties of Allah. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. And I am pleased with Islam as a way of life for you. So the Shaykh said, then praise Allah, O slave of Allah, that He made you among the Muslims. And how many are those who have been deprived of this bounty? How many are those who have been... Some of us have Islam just right in his boundaries. It's right around him, right next to him. It's in his house, it's in the street. But he's uninterested in Islam. There's no interest in Islam. As if Islam needs someone. Islam doesn't need anyone. Islam is the religion of Allah. We need Islam. Very often, failure in understanding the objective of life results in the abandonment of Islam. Some people don't know why they were created. They think that it was done, you know, in vain. But Allah said, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Do you presume and assume that we created you in vain and that to us you will not return? فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقِّ. Allah is way exalted above that. The King, the Sovereign, that He will create us in vain. There's an objective of life. There's something to look forward to. When we understand that, then we can no longer abandon the Salah. We can no longer disobey Allah all the time. We can no longer violate His rights and His limitations. If we fail to understand the first, then we may embark and engage in the second. And if we have a good time today, we will regret it later on, when the time of regretfulness will be of no value. When the person will try to come back into this dunya, and he will not be permitted. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتِ كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. Until when death comes to one of them, He will say, "My Lord, my Master, allow me to return so I may do good in that which I left behind." And it will be said to him, "No, it's only a word you will say. It's only a wish you will have. As for the materialization of this, for you to be allowed to go back, this is not going to happen to anyone. So let us wake up while we're able to do so and make the changes before it becomes too late. Death doesn't know age and it doesn't know time. When it's time, then and we have to leave, we just have to leave. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be before you leave this khutbah translation. So then Allah made us among the Muslims. We need to praise Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for that He made us Muslims. And Allah said about the believers, وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. They say, "Oh, praise is due to Allah, الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا," the one who has guided us to that, to Islam, which we have. And we were never to be guided had Allah not guided us. Yani the guidance comes from Allah. And the guidance comes from the one who requested. If you make a request, if you beg Allah for guidance, Allah will not leave you astray. It's that element of arrogance which prevents people from humiliating themselves before Allah. This idea of I'm belittling myself for the greatness of Allah, when it's gone, then someone feels that I don't need to ask Allah for anything. I'm self-sufficient. And so they don't praise Allah for guidance, nor do they ask for it. And the one who doesn't ask Allah is the one who will be led astray. Because it is arrogance. And if someone believes they're super special, that they don't need Allah, and if they don't like the religion of Allah or the way Allah has done things, then you say to them, "No problem, why don't you create your own heavens and earth? Go create your own heavens, your own earth, create your own creation and deal with them the way you like. Tell them that they don't need to do salah, they don't need to do siyam, they don't need to pay zakah. Do that. Create the heavens and the earth. And create another mankind, then deal with them the way you think is befitting." And from the beginning, he's going to tell you, "But I can't create the heavens and the earth." Say, "Thank you very much. So now that you're created by Allah, you need to adjust and adapt to His rules. And don't reject them. Because we are that weak that we can't even create a mosquito, let alone everything else we see around us. This is from the wisdom of Allah. But little are those who reflect." These bounties of Allah, the numerous bounties of Allah, require abundance of gratitude and thankfulness over and over again. Praising Allah for having given these things to us. How is that done though? It is done by uttering with the tongue, by making statements of praise and thankfulness to Allah, by acknowledging in one's heart that these are from Allah, and last but not least, by utilizing our limbs, our body parts, in servitude to Allah and obedience. This is the real sign of shukr and gratefulness. Not that we say alhamdulillah, but then we think in our hearts that it came from the mudir. That the rizq, the salary came from the mudir. If we think the mudir is the one giving the rizq, not Allah, even though we say alhamdulillah when you receive the salary, but in our heart we think the mudir has such a great bounty over me. If we don't think in our hearts this is from Allah, this is just a tool. He's just a machine Allah placed in this dunya for my sustenance to come. If he was not here, someone else would have been in his position for my salary to come. And then when we get this money and we go out, we don't go disobey Allah with it. We don't get the money and go then buy a shisha and smoke it up, you know, down the street between Maghrib and Isha. Then we go to the masjid and harm the people with the stink which comes from our clothes and our breath. That's not thanking Allah in any way, shape or form. And we may do the first two, ya akhwan, but very often we fail in the third. Do we utilize these blessings in means of obeying Allah? Usually we don't. And if we don't, then we're not really thanking Allah. Now we will see the consequences of not doing though. It is not a light matter. So praise Allah for the many bounties He has bestowed upon you. Why? Praising Allah and thanking, there's a difference between shukr and hamd. Shukr is when you thank someone for a favor they have done for you. hamd is when you praise someone for qualities they have, even if they didn't do anything for you. If someone gave you a ride, if someone gave you, you needed a ride and they dropped you off at your location, you thank this person, tashkuruhu, because he did a favor to you. But you hear that someone always gives people a ride, he never gave you a ride. But you know this brother, mashallah, is generous. Anytime someone needs a ride, he drops them off, you praise him. You praise him for the quality of generosity, even though you yourself never had any personal experience. This is why you say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen in the Fatiha. You don't say Ash-Shukru Lillah, because Allah deserves all praise all the time. Whether that particular thing you've experienced or not, Allah deserves the praise. And ironically, everything of Allah's mercy and bounty and forgiveness we are experiencing all the time, which means Allah deserves even more praise. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So praising Allah, thanking Allah, necessitates continuity of the blessing. If you continue to praise Allah and thank Him, then Allah will continue to supply you with His bounties. If you stop, then they will go away. The evidence for that is in Surah Ibrahim. Most of you should know the ayah. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And your Lord has proclaimed that if, conditional, if you show thankfulness, I will increase you. وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. However, if you are ungrateful, then my punishment is severe. So if we thank Allah, and that means using the blessings to please Allah in our bodies and intellect and what have you and our money, then Allah will increase. If we don't do that, it doesn't mean that you reject Allah. If you don't utilize these blessings in a way pleasing to Allah, if you get money which Allah gives you and you disobey Allah with it, then the punishment of Allah is severe, and you might as well kiss these blessings farewell. They will not remain with you for too long. It's a test from Allah. Either we get to retain them or we get to lose them. Ali radiallahu anhu said, An-ni'mah, the blessing is connected to thankfulness. And thankfulness is connected or conditional to increase. So these two come together. Allah will not stop from increasing you until you stop in thanking Him. Al-Fudail ibn Ayyad used to say, rahimahullah, upon you is consistency in showing thankfulness for the bounties you receive. Because it is very unlikely that a group of people will retain a blessing which they lost because of ungratefulness. Yani Allah will give it to you for a short period of time. If you don't utilize it and thank Allah for it, and it leaves, it's very unlikely that it will return. It comes and it goes to someone else, it may never return to us again. So we cannot afford to be ungrateful. Part of being grateful to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is directing our intentions and humiliating ourselves before Him by fulfilling His commands and avoiding His prohibitions, which in summary is known as ibadah. And ibadah very often is translated as worship, but that's only one part of the meaning. Ibadah comes from also abd. Abd is a slave. So ibadah is really in essence servitude or slavery accompanied with acts of worship and obedience to Allah. Because some people they do worship, but they don't do slavery. Yani in the masjid, they worship Allah because salah is ritual. But when they go out, it stops. They're no longer slaves. The commandments of the prohibition stop. In the masjid, they have ibadah. When it's siyam, they have ibadah. But servitude, which is constantly being in the state of submission to Allah, they don't have this quality. So the best of ibad are those who are constant slaves of Allah. In the masjid, outside the masjid, at home and elsewhere. Where are we from those? Allah musta'an. The true thankfulness then is servitude, slavery. Allah says, eat from the bounties or from the good of which we have bestowed upon you, and show thankfulness to Allah if indeed you are slaves of Him. So Allah made shukr lillah conditional to slavery. If you really worship Allah and you're slaves of His, then show thankfulness to Him. In this ayah, Allah combined these two concepts together. And this is done by doing many things which are pleasing to Allah. And this is what Allah had commanded the messengers and the righteous slaves to do. He said, look at the affairs of these prophets and the messengers and those who are close to Allah and those beloved to Allah. Watch how they always, always express their gratitude and thankfulness to Allah Azza wa Jal when He gives them His blessings and His favors. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah said concerning him, Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan. Ibrahim was a nation on his own. He was at such a level of iman and love for Allah. Khalilur Rahman, the close friend of the Rahman. And by the way, I've come across some brothers who are called Khalilur Rahman. This is impermissible. This is impermissible. You cannot be called Khalilur Rahman or Habibur Rahman or what have you, because this is a quality that you may not have. And we know that in the Sunnah, there are only two people on earth whom we can say Khalilur Rahman: Ibrahim and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Khalas. No one can. This is a title. This is as fancy as a title can be. So no Khalilur Rahman, Habibur Rahman, anything which entails self-praise or giving you quality that, you know, from the unseen. Habibur Rahman meaning the one whom Allah loves. You cannot do that. You have to change your name. You say it's complicated, say there are many complicated things in the dunya. That's not the first. But you have to change your name. Call yourself Ahmed and save us the trouble. Khalilur Rahman, Habibur Rahman, Mustadiur Rahman, and the list goes on. These names are not from, if you look at the Sahaba, none of them were named like this, nor were the Tabi'een. These are invented names that began when people used the Quran as a book of names. You know, they will open the Quran and they put the finger on, you know, they count three lines and seven words or some invented idea. And whatever the word that comes under their finger, then they name the child by this name. But, so some people, the one brother said, he met a sister, her name is Namil. Because she came in Surah An-Naml, ants. And the other one's called Nahl, bees. You cannot be calling people these names. These are not sound names. And some of the rights of the children is you give them beautiful names. You give them nice names that the people will not make fun of them in school, and when they grow up, this will psychologically destroy them if their names are no good. This is from the rights of the children. So we stick to the names that are meaningful and don't contain self-praise. Alrighty? So basically, Ibrahim was an ummah on his own. Qanitan lillah. Qunut is the state of continuous submission to Allah. It's not part-time. 24/7 he's in a state of humbleness and gratitude and slavery to Allah. Hanifan, he was on the straight path. He didn't go left or right in his aqeedah. وَلَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. He was not among the polytheists. شَاكِرًا لِأَنْعُمِهِ. He was grateful to Allah's blessings. This is the point. شَاكِرًا شُكْر لِأَنْعُمِهِ. Furthermore, Allah described Ibrahim when he became old in age and Allah blessed him with a child at a time where you don't expect children anymore. So he said, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah who has blessed me even though I'm in old age, على الكبر, Ismail wa Ashab. Ismail and Isaac. Ismail wa Ashab. He got them when his wife was barren. He was khalas, he was too old. Still Allah blessed him with the children. He praised Allah for the children. And this is something which Allah Azza wa Jal deserves to be praised for. Dawood and Sulaiman. Just leave the bottle. Barakallah feek. Jazakallah khair. I'm very sensitive to sounds. You have to forgive me. Which reminds me, In Jumu'ah, brothers in Islam, we cannot do commentary on the Khatib. Some people think it's a football match. You know, in a football match, there's always someone in the background, or cricket, someone always speaking, he hit the ball. You can't be doing commentary on the Sheikh's khutbah every 3 seconds. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, MashaAllah, La hawla wa quwwata, Allahumma salli wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. La, ya Habibi, la. La, this mouth, we need to zip it. Zip it during khutbah til Jum'ah. Our eyes are not in our fingers, not on the carpet, not in a bottle of water. Our eyes are on the khatib. On the khatib. We don't understand Arabic, big deal. Big deal. If I go to a lecture and someone speak in Urdu, I'm not going to look at the lamp the whole time. Out of respect to the speaker, I will look him in the face. Even if I don't understand what he's saying, look at the khatib. You can't be drinking water during the khutbah. You cannot, cannot. We had an hour before the khutbah, and we have hours after the khutbah. In this short time, we need to contain ourselves. Don't put your head down, because you will fall asleep. Your mind will go away. You may hear something every now and then, a few words which you know, you can react to. And we need to look at the khatib, can't be drinking water, can't be playing with anything in your hands, can't be checking out your clothes, your socks, and the list goes on. During this khutbah, even if your neck hurts, look at the imam. 30 minutes max. 30 minutes, and then go home and sleep. Rest your neck for the effort you exerted in Jumu'ah. But to be playing around during the khutbah, well, that's unacceptable. And to comment on his khutbah every 3 seconds is also unacceptable. And when you want to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you do so that only you can hear you. You can hear yourself. But whisper. So because he was mentioned alayhi salatu wasalam, and you don't want that to go away without you saying something, without sending the salam on him. But you don't scream, and you don't let the people around you hear you, and you don't disturb them either. And when he makes a dua, the same thing about Ameen. You hear half of the masjid says, Ameen. No, you cannot say that. Say Ameen to yourself. Don't say Ameen loudly. Even if he made dua during khutbah al-Jum'ah. These are the etiquettes of Jum'ah which we must adhere to. So we can get the reward of Jum'ah. Otherwise, the reward is lost. The reward is lost. The Prophet ﷺ said, if one of you says to his brother, be quiet during Jum'ah, his reward for Jum'ah is gone. The ulama allow a gesture with your hand. You can, you know, with your hand you can notify him not to do something. But if you told him with your own words, be quiet, listen to the imam, you lost the reward of Jumu'ah. You, the one enjoining the good, forbidding the evil, you lost the reward of Jumu'ah for speaking even though you're telling someone else to be quiet. So what about the one who's being told to be quiet? Forget about his Jumu'ah. Now what's the point then? What's the point? Just praying 2 rak'at instead of 4 for dhuhr? That's not sufficient. There's a lot of reward associated with Jum'ah. We will not attain it until we observe patience and act according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Dawood and Sulaiman have said, Allah said, and we have barely given Dawood and Sulaiman ilma, knowledge, abundant of knowledge. And they said, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah who favored us over many of His slaves. Allah favored them over many of Allah's slaves, the believing slaves. Luqman al-Hakim has also said, Allah said, and verily we have given Luqman al-Hikmah, wisdom. What was the wisdom here? An ishkur lillah, that you be thankful to Allah. And whosoever is thankful, فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ نَفْسِهِ. He's being thankful for his own good. Allah doesn't need it. Whether we all thank Allah or we all reject thanking Allah, Allah doesn't need it. So if you are thankful, you're being thankful for your own good. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ. And whosoever is ungrateful, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. Allah is self-sufficient, all praise is due to Him. He doesn't need the praise of those who praise Him. As for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then he exemplified the greatest means of showing thankfulness to Allah. And all of you know this hadith which you've been hearing all your life. The hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet ﷺ used to pray at night until his feet will swell. Until his feet would swell. And she said to him, why do you do this, O Messenger of Allah? Even though Allah has forgiven the previous of your errors and the future ones. The times where in the ijtihad, it wasn't as good as it would be for the Messenger. Not that he used to commit sins, alayhi salatu wasalam, the way people commit sins today. He said to her, should I not love to be a grateful slave of Allah? Even though he didn't need the qiyam in this sense, Allah made it obligatory on him. He used to go to the extent of hurting himself and his feet swelling because he wanted to show thankfulness to Allah. And some of the ulama say because Allah had said about Nuh, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Nuh used to be a grateful slave, and the Prophet ﷺ wanted to exceed and supersede all of the messengers in gratefulness to Allah, so he would go that extra mile, alayhi salatu wasalam. O Muslims, Oh, and then a very important dua. This is what he used to say after every salah. And I hope you memorized it. Most of you have it memorized. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Oh Allah, a'inni from iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. A'un. Aid, assistance, help. Help me, aid me, assist me in dhikrika, remembering you. With the tongue and keeping in mind the deen of Allah all the time and that Allah is watching. All this is included in dhikr. Wa shukrika, and being thankful and grateful to you. Wa husni ibadatik, and the excellence in worship. Help me reach the excellence in slavery and worship to you. After every salah we are recommended to make this dua. But we need to say it meaningfully. And we need to reflect upon what we're saying while we're saying it, because it has become a habit. We probably all say it, but when was the last time we meant it? That's the important question. The Shaykh went on to say, O Ummah of Muslims, what people have agreed upon, regardless of their nation and their country and their citizenship, is that whosoever does you a favor, you should be thankful to him. No two nations disagree on this concept. And that you should say good things about this person because of the favors he has done for you. And you should also strive to provide service in return. Yani, someone did you a favor, you'll be looking for the opportunity to pay him back. Someone gave you money when you needed money, and then you start saying, inshallah, I hope one day, I mean, you don't hope that he doesn't have money, but you hope one day you'll be able to pay him back, to give him, do a favor for him as he did a favor for you. And the Prophet ﷺ, now this is an interesting story which requires some reflection. The hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim of Abu Hurairah. There were three men, and I'm going to summarize it because, you know, I'm not going to read it verbatim, otherwise we will never finish. There were three men from Bani Israel. A leper is a skin disease. You know, where the skin color starts to fade and go away. So you see black and white, different, you know, extreme colors on one person. Known as leper in English. And Akra, someone who's bald. It's okay if you're bald, don't worry about it. And a blind person, okay? Three individuals from Bani Israel. Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to test them. So He sent an angel to them. Who didn't come, who apparently he wasn't in the form of an angel. He came and he said to the first one, the leper. He said, what do you want? What is the most beloved to you? He said, good skin. I would like to have good skin so that people will no longer belittle me. He was being mistreated by the people because of his skin. He said, good skin, good appearance. So then he wiped over him and his skin became beautiful. Allah took away the disease instantly. He told him, which wealth is most beloved to you? The one narrating the hadith got confused whether it was camels or cows. It makes no difference at this point. Let's say, according to the sequence of the narration, he said camels. So then he gave him a pregnant camel on the verge of delivery. وَإِذَا الْعُشُورِ عُطِّلَتْ, which is the camels that at the most, this is the most critical time for the Bedouin Arab at that time. When the camel is about to deliver, this is their money. So he gave him a pregnant camel. And he said, بَارَكَ اللَّهُ لَكَ فِيهِ, may Allah bless it for you. And indeed, he eventually had a valley of camels. He finished with the first, he went to the second, the bald one. He said, what would you want? What is it that you would desire? He told him, you know, that this baldness go away and that Allah gives me beautiful hair. He wiped over his head and indeed the baldness went away and he had beautiful hair. He said, which wealth is more beloved to you? He said, a cow's. So he gave him a pregnant cow. He went to the third one. The one, which one? The blind. He said, what is the most beloved? What would you like? What would you desire? He said, that Allah returns my sight so I can see the people. So he wiped over his eyes, the man was able to see. He said, which wealth is most beloved to you? He said, goats or sheep. So he gave him pregnant sheep. And so it eventually had a valley of sheep. Right. This was the first incident. Now, after some time, the same angel came to each one of them in the form they used to be in. So he went to the one who used to be a leper, but now got money. He's got a valley of camels. He looks good. And the man, now the angel came as a leper. And he told him, I am a man who's poor and in need, and due to travel, I'm unable to make it to my destination. I ask you by the one who gave you this beautiful skin and gave you this wealth, that you give me one camel that I will use in my travel to make it to my destination. So what did he tell him? He said, Al-huququ kathira. He said, I have many obligations. I have many obligations. So he told him, you look familiar to me. You look familiar to me. I've seen you before. Were you not someone who was a leper, and people were disgusted by you, and then Allah gave you this beautiful skin and this wealth? He said, no, I've inherited this from my grandfather. This is wealth from the family I've received, nothing that I got like this. So he told him, if you are a liar, may Allah return you to the state that you were in. He went on to the second. And he told him the same thing, and the second man, which one is he? The bald. He told him the same thing, that I've inherited this from my grandfathers. He didn't give him a cow so he can use to get to his destination. He went to the blind man and he gave him the same incident. So the blind man told him, I was blind and Allah gave me sight, and he gave me all that which you see. Take whatever you like and leave whatever you like. By Allah, I will not deprive you of anything which you take for the sake of Allah. Anything for Allah, take it. I will not deprive you. He told him, أَمْسِكْ عَلَيْكَ مَلَكْ. Hold on to your wealth. Keep your wealth. Verily you were tested, and Allah is pleased with you, and He is displeased with your two companions. So this was the lesson here. The lesson was that this third man recognized Allah's favor, and then he in turn helped the people the same way he needed help before. And the lesson we learned, there are many lessons that the ulama deduce. But what we can relate to right now, at least with the short time, is that if we were misguided, and Allah guided us to Islam, some people were not practicing, they started practicing. If we were poor, suddenly we came here, we started having wealth. Don't forget the condition you were in. And don't think that's because you're special that now you have wealth or you became educated or whatever. Remember, it is from Allah, and treat the slaves of Allah the way Allah treated you. وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Treat with goodness the same way Allah treated you with goodness. Don't forget the favors of Allah تبارك وتعالى. The Shaykh said, it is not of good mannerism in any way, shape or form that you do not fulfill the rights of those who have done favors for you. And this is the quality of the wicked and the evil people. What if the one who has done you the favor was Allah? And if a human being did you a favor, it's considered lack of mannerism that you reject that, that you deny that favor, and you don't show thankfulness to him. Then what about when the favor is from Allah Azza wa Jal? How are we going to act? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever does a favor for you, reward him. If you're unable to do so, then make dua for him. If someone has done you a favor, if you can reward him financially or whatever, do so. If you can't, at least say Jazakallahu khayran. And in another hadith, not another riwayah, another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, if one of you says to his brother Jazakallahu khayran, then you have done the utmost in showing thankfulness. The biggest kind of thankfulness and gratitude that one may express is not thank you very much, even though this is fine, or shukran, it's jazakallahu khayran. You can add with that other terms that the people use. Shukran, barakallahu fiqh, jazakallahu khayran. But the best one is jazakallahu khayran. Not jazakallah. We discussed it before. Jazakallah is incomplete. Because jazak can be khayr and it can be shar. Jaza'an wifaqa. Equal recompense for the kuffar, for the people of Jannah. Allah said jaza'an wifaqa. So the sunnah is jazakallahu khayran, not jazakallah only. This may become a dua on the person, but of course that's not your intention. Then the second part of the khutbah, and it's almost done, hang in there inshallah. He said it is not showing thankfulness to Allah in any way, shape or form that we turn away from obedience to Him and we embark and engage in things which displease Him and make Him angry. And it necessitates the absence of this ni'mah and the going away of this ni'mah and the destruction of this ni'mah. And listen to what Allah said concerning Qissat Qarya, the story of a village. What was the story of this village in the Quran? Allah has struck, وضرب الله مثلا. Allah struck the example of a قرية, of a village. كانت آمنة مطمئنة. آمنة, it was secure. مطمئنة, in a state of relaxation and tranquility. يأتيها رزقها رغدا من كل مكان. Its sustenance and provision were coming from every place. From here they get fruits, from there they get vegetables, from here they get meat. Everything they needed, water was available, every means of livelihood were present and available for this qarya. What happened? فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. So it became ungrateful for the favors of Allah. Now look at the consequences. فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ. أَذَاقَهَا, taste, from ذوق. Allah made it taste libas. What is libas? Clothing. The clothing of hunger and fear. Why clothing was used? Because clothing surrounds you. It encompasses you. So they were encompassed. They were surrounded from everywhere now with what? Hunger and fear. The things which Allah had protected them from initially. When they were not thankful to Allah, look at what they were replaced with. بِمَا كَانُوا يَصْنَعُونَ. All this is why? Because of what they used to earn. And Jeddah is not too far from this. Jeddah in particular, or Jeddah depending on which way is correct, is not too far from this. Among the many cities in the kingdom, this is probably the wildest one, where people are most inclined towards changing the favors of Allah and being ungrateful to them. And the floods last year are not too far from us. And what could happen this year is also a huge possibility, unless we get our acts together and enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil. This could happen to us. This could happen to us. And the safety and security would become hunger and fear. And we cannot afford to do this to ourselves. And the same thing he quoted concerning Qussat Mamlakat Saba, but the terms are very complicated. I will not even attempt to translate them to English without any prior preparation, because you know this is not prepared for. And the last part of the khutbah, the Shaykh said, it is not showing thankfulness to Allah that you abandon the salah, which Allah commanded you to do 5 times a day. It's for your own good. It's for your own good. This salah, what? How difficult can it be on a slave to perform the salah correctly in the masjid with the jama'ah? This basic requirement, the first thing we will be questioned about, and the thing which led people into Jahannam is the salah, abandoning the salah. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ ارْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. When it is said to them, bow, bow, do ruku' with the people, pray with the people, la yarka'un, they don't bow. Waylun, woe on that day to the beliars. Allah called them mukathibin. Yawma yukshafu an saqin wa yud'auna ila sujudi fala yastati'un khashi'atan absaruhum tarhaquhum dhillah wa qad kanu yud'auna ila sujudi wa hum salimun. On the day where the shin will be exposed and they will be called to do sujood, but they will not be able to do so. And their sight will be in humility, looking down. They'll be in a state of humility. And Allah said, and they used to be invited for salah before while they were able to do so, while they were intact. But they used to reject salah in the dunya. When the people will do sujood for Allah, and at the end, they will not be able to do it with the rest of the Muslims, and they will be cast into Jahannam. Very big deal. Salah. Children, are they doing? Our children, are they praying salah? If they reach the age of 10, he's supposed to be praying 5 daily prayers, fajr, in the masjid. After we teach him the etiquette of coming in the masjid. It's not a joke. It's an obligation, my brothers in Islam. Don't miss out on it. Breaking the fast in the day of Ramadan is not showing thankfulness in any way, shape or form, unless you have a valid reason. Not paying the zakah, which is the right of Allah. And not doing hajj, which is a pillar of Islam, even though you have the ability to do so. All of these are not showing thankfulness to Allah if you abandon them. Similarly, it is not part of showing thankfulness to Allah that you declare war against Allah and His Messenger by dealing with riba. And some people say, well, akhi, I'm not the one consuming it. You know, I'm paying it, or I'm only working in a bank and I'm just signing contracts. I'm not really the one. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ آكِلَ الرِّبَى وَمُوكِلَهُ وَكَاتِبَهُ وَالشَّاهِدَيْنِ وَفِي رِوَيَةٍ وَقَالَ كُلُّهُمْ سَوَاءٌ. Allah curses the one who pays riba and the one who takes it and the one who writes the contract and the two witnesses. He said all of them are equal in curse. You can be working in any place that helps the continuation of riba. It's a form of declaring war against Allah and His Messenger, and guess what? You will lose. I will lose. If we try to declare war against Allah, we lost already. Riba is a big deal today. It's the people are making it like a drink of water. Would you like some water or would you like to deal with riba? It's like it's that simple. It is not. The fact that everywhere around us riba is available does not make it halal for you and I. Inshallah, the whole world deals with riba. A Muslim is not allowed to deal with riba. No loans for universities and no loans with riba, of course, for whatever, to buy a car. All this where we get some money and pay back more is haram. You better keep a bicycle rather than having a car which will take you to Jahannam. Also, harming people, oppressing people, eating their rights, fornication, mocking the deen, intoxication. Many people are fighting Islam, fighting Allah and His Messenger today, day and night, day and night. The only objective in life they have is how can they belittle, deny the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. All day this is their only effort. Look at what's going on TV. It's not showing thankfulness to Allah that during wedding occasions and celebrations, Eid and what have you, that someone spends extravagantly. So much so that so much food is left behind that is thrown in the trash. This is a calamity. This is a calamity. Somebody invites you to a wedding and they have 200 people coming and they make food for 600 people. And what happens to the rest of the food? Not that they have some brain to say, collect this food, let's take them to some masakeen somewhere. Believe me, they're all over the place. These ladies in the street, instead of giving her 5 riyals, which she may go buy a pack of cigarettes with it, or she may go put it in the bank, she may be richer than you. When you give her money, you give her food, now you've done your job. She cannot misuse the money. You can give her money, she may misuse it. But when you give her food, you've done your job. Give it to these masakeen. The same ladies outside. And if they don't want the food, know that they're actors. Because some of them have said, myself here, she said, I don't want food, give me fulus. And you're a poor person or not? If you're a poor person, you better be hungry. If your stomach is full, then you're richer than me. Because I'm hungry at this point. But people are playing games with the deen. So you give food, collect this food. You may not like to eat after someone. Some people have no problem eating your leftover. You cannot haram to throw a grain of rice in the trash. Wallahi haram, even a grain of rice. Don't ask about, you know, tons of that thrown in the dumpsters. Keep it economical. Keep it economical. And whatever food is left should not be thrown in the trash. And this exemplifies the dua or the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The worst walima, the most evil walima, is the one where the rich are invited and the poor are left behind. They may not come looking as nice. He's going to ruin the appearance and the image of the wedding. So they don't invite the poor people. They only bring the rich who look good and do good and whatever. So they eat, you know, 3 bites from the big plate and they throw the rest in the trash. A poor person will eat the whole plate usually. So at least you can guarantee that the food will be consumed. A rich person came full already before the event. So this is the worst of walima. It is not being thankful to Allah that you do not show satisfaction, contentment with what you have. The Prophet ﷺ said, and we end with this, look at those who are below you. Not in religious commitment, by the way. This must be added. In worldly life. Look at those who are below you. Don't look at those who are above you. It is more likely that you will not belittle the favor of Allah on you. Yani the Shaykh said, if you're driving a car, then if you have a car, someone doesn't have a car. If you're walking, someone may not even be able to walk because of some physical disability. Anyways, anytime you have something, look at those who are beneath you. So you will not reject the favor of Allah upon you. If you look at those who are better than you, you will never be satisfied. You will never be satisfied. But in the matters of the deen, don't say, Wallah, I'm better than fulan. I pray 5 times in the masjid. No, look at someone who's better than you. Someone who's always in the first row. Someone who's always, you know, in the state of worship. Someone who's always doing that. Look at those who are ahead of you. All of us should look at those who are better than us, not those who are below us in matters of the deen. In the dunya, it's the other way around. And with that, the Shaykh concluded his khutbah. Next week, inshallah, I may or may not come I still don't know. I'm traveling, inshallah, bi'idhnillah, for da'wah purposes, so you will not think I'm abandoning the masjid, because I now feel guilty if I don't come for whatever reason. But next Jumu'ah, I'm traveling to Jizan, I think it's Jizan, never been there before. Thursday, coming back Jumu'ah. Now, if I make it on time, before Jumu'ah, then alhamdulillah. If I don't show up at all, meaning I wasn't able to make it on time, and so there will be no khutbah translation. And let those who are present convey this to those who are absent. وَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ